somebody has hurt you in the church. You can hardly stand to see that person. In fact, you decide you can't stand it and you leave. What do you think you're going to find in the next church?
For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about church problems. I wish we didn't have to talk about church problems. I wish we didn't have any church problems. But I'm thankful we have churches. I'm thankful for my church, even though it's full of problems. I've gone through this thing for a long time, trying to sort out what it is that's going on, why people are leaving, what is all this criticism that's going around. I'm sure that many of you can identify with that. We can spend the rest of our lives concentrating on the problems. I think what we need to do is to learn to concentrate primarily on Christ Himself, remembering that it is His church. He hasn't let go of us. He hasn't given up on us. He hasn't thrown in the sponge. He waits in patience for us to come to Him, for us to get down on our knees and confess our sins, confess the sins of our church, confess our prayerlessness, confess our pettiness, our own personal gripes and private hurts. Somebody has hurt you in the church. You can hardly stand to see that person. In fact, you decide you can't stand it and you leave. What do you think you're going to find in the next church? These pettinesses, these personal gripes and hurts, whatever happened to courage, to forgiveness, to grace, to just a simple kindness of overlooking a little slight? Very often the slights that we feel so painfully were not intentional at all. The other person hasn't the least idea that they've hurt us. Let's start concentrating on Christ Himself, remembering that it is His church, that we are His people and the sheep of His pasture, and as the psalmist says, we are to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Why go to church? Primarily to hear the sermon? No, I think the main reason we should go to church is to worship together with other people who love Christ. Worship should be the central focus, not of the man in the pulpit, but of the Christ of whom he speaks. It's very easy when we go to worship and mean with all our hearts to sing the hymns with all our hearts and with meaning and with the Spirit of God, but it's so easy to suddenly find ourselves focusing on that one woman in the choir. What's she doing there? She can't sing. Or why does she wear her hair like that? Or that man behind us who can't sing as good as a crow, and he's just driving you crazy. He's got a voice like a bee in a jam jar. Or the kind of music that they've started doing. Or the distracting gesture of the preacher. Or the child standing on the pew in front of you, whose parents are paying absolutely no attention to the child, and the child is staring backwards, staring at you. Rather distracting, isn't it? God promises perfection in His church, but not yet. Isn't it wonderful to think that someday it's all going to be sorted out? Someday we're even going to love that woman in the choir. Someday we will not be irritated by the man with that voice behind us. He promises perfection, yet it hasn't happened. And the bride in all her glory will be presented in the end of time, perfect and without spot. But in the meantime, here we are, incomplete, imperfect, until that time. Jesus warned us about this. We ought not to be surprised. He said that the kingdom of God is like a net. It brings in all kinds of fish, including bad ones. It's like a field of wheat, where not only does the wheat grow, but also the weeds, the tares, the cockles. What do we expect to find in the Church of Christ other than sinners? There really isn't anything else, is there? Have you ever heard anybody say, "Well, I used to go to church, but I quit because the place was so full of hypocrites"? I want to know, what kind of sinners do you expect to find in the church? Hypocrisy is a sin, yes. But where is a hypocrite supposed to go, if not to church? We're the ones who need forgiveness and cleansing, repentance, and the Word of God. So Jesus predicted all of this. He said, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And he reminds us that we must be prepared to suffer. One of the ways in which we suffer is by the sins of other people. That's part of our calling as Christians. We suffer for the sins of other people. But, oh Lord, help us that we never forget that they suffer because of us too, don't they? They suffer because of our sins. I can remember a woman telling me after we had known each other for years, she said, "You know, the first time I met you was in the coffee hour at church." I said, "Really? How did we meet?" And she said, "Well, my friend so-and-so introduced us," and she said, "the minute I saw you, I knew you were divine." Well, divine was just one of her favorite words, and it didn't mean anything at all. But we had become very good friends, very close friends. But she said, "You know what you did next?" She said, "Oh, I was so excited to meet you, and I knew you were divine." And she said, "You just said, 'I'm glad to meet you,' and you turned away." She was hurt by that, but she wasn't chiding me for being hurt. She was too big-hearted for that. But I think of all the times I've probably done things like that, and I have no idea. Nobody's ever told me. They didn't come to me later and tell me about it. So we suffer. We suffer tiny little hurts and big hurts. And I suffer. I find a deep pain in my soul when I see what's happening in churches today. A dear friend of ours, who was the pastor of a church for many years, committed adultery. He has decided to go with the mistress and to leave his wife. That is pain, not only for the wife and children, of course, tremendous pain, but pain for everyone who's been affected by it. That man set an example. What he is doing, in effect, is giving permission to others to do the same. No, as St. Augustine said hundreds of years ago, it is still night. But it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. So we have reason for hope. The bride will be perfected without spot or wrinkle or any stain. And the second reason to look up with joy is that Christ promises that the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. Isn't that encouraging, strengthening, fortifying? His Spirit will abide with us. He said, "Lo, I am with you all the days. I will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you." And did you know there are 5 negatives in the Greek of that verse? Never, 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 never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you. How could he forsake his holy bride? He laid down his life for us. You know that hymn, "The Church's One Foundation"? From heaven he came and sought us to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought us, and for her life he died. Do we ask why the church will never in this world attain the spotlessness and the beauty that Christ desires? If we ask that question, it's one of those questions that only God can answer. And the Bible says, "Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor?" God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, His ways past finding out. So we're face to face with a mystery. The church itself is a mystery, and we will never completely comprehend it. We have to trust the holiness of Him who is the head of the church, Jesus Christ Himself. Trust His holiness, trust His justice, trust His love. And someone has said the church is not only a gift to the faithful, but also a task. A gift to the faithful and also a task. Have you decided to leave your church because it doesn't seem to be much of a gift to you anymore? You're not finding what you want there. Things have disappointed you. Maybe things have changed. Maybe things have fallen apart. You weren't appreciated. Your gifts were not recognized. Nobody ever asked you to do anything, or people asked you to do too many things, or you volunteered for something and then you didn't like the job that they gave you. Are you planning to leave the church? Don't forget that the church is a task, and it may be a task that God is calling you to work at, to stay there, to stick it out, to be a pillar, to be faithful, to persevere. Is there a particular problem in your church? First of all, pray. Don't talk to anybody but God. You can talk about me just as much as you please. I'll talk about you down on my knees. As the old song says, pray, don't talk. Learn the power of patience, meekness, silence, the futility of taking things into our own hands and assuming a position of authority as though we know what is best for this church. Only God knows, and God is at work. He will hear our prayers. He will show us His way.
As Elizabeth has said, anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.